Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Denis Clavreul, author, watercolorist, wildlife artist, and biologist. And we're talking about his spectacular new book, In the Footsteps of Audubon. Denis, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Now, when did you first think of this project? This is a massive, years-long project. When did it first occur to you?
I think it was already maybe 30 years ago, just the beginning of thinking about that. And then by the time, after one first short opportunities, when I visited the U.S. In 1991 for an exhibition, this project was not possible. But a few years after, I just think again and using the opportunity of an exhibition about John James Audubon in my city in France, and I started to travel to the U.S. and to do something.
You followed Audubon's travels to the south into places like Florida, Louisiana, up into the Midwest, and then even up into Labrador. And the fascinating thing, one of the many fascinating things about this book is you got to compare what these places were like in Audubon's time from his descriptions to what they look like now. Were there places that probably haven't changed that much since Audubon's time?
I think it was in Labrador.
Yeah.
Labrador,
yeah.
On the little Mecatina Island. It was a very special emotion for me because I stood a few hours on that very wild small island, and I knew that Audubon walked across the island to center, and it is in exactly the same places and landscape and nature.
Wow. Now,
yeah,
it took 15 years, over a dozen trips to America, and I want to talk to the audience. You're a watercolorist. Do you take photographs first and then base your watercolors on that?
No, I have to say that's one of my specialties is that I enjoy so much to paint and to sketch in the wild, in the field. It's difficult, but it's a huge challenge each time, but it's my pleasure. And it's much more interesting on a sensitive point of view.
And what I love about a lot of these paintings is that it includes paintings, finished paintings, but a lot of sketches, too, pencil sketches.
Yeah.
And I, for one, really enjoy pencil sketches because they're very spontaneous. It tracks the artist learning the subject.
Yeah.
Is that how?
Yeah, thank you. It's true. It's because it's so challenging. It's what we saw, what we feel, what we hear. These are complex sensations and. You can't keep all. You have to select when you look to a landscape, when you look to a bird which moving. You can keep only a few things, so you have to be quick, to be very clear, and in a few lines only.
Some of these paintings are just outstanding. But you also, I want to mention to the audience that you're not just painting birds, but you're painting the people, the landscapes, and even specimens from museum collections, which must be a lot easier than painting a live bird because it's just sitting there.
Yeah, it's a really a different work, of course. But because I think that my such painting in the book are not so detailed, they seemed detailed, with details, but they are not so. Because I think that Audubon, in general, he spent maybe half a day or all the day to draw the birds, to make the studies. In my case, it was only maybe one or 2 hours. So I, even if with these studies, I tried to be more impressionist than right. really to paint all the details.
One of the first works that just knocked my socks off, I loved, inside the front cover, there's a two-page yeah. painting of black skimmers flying.
Yeah.
That's like an expressionist or abstract painting.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you. Yes. I have to say that 95% of the pictures in the book, they are made in the field. Concerning
wow.
these two pictures, because it's impossible to do that in the field at the moment. And concerning, for example, the skimmers, I got that opportunity to saw these birds fishing in front of me near New York City. And I spent maybe half an hour to sketch, to make many, many small sketches to try to understand and to, from a graphic point of view, to try to express something. And the painting, which is in the book, I did it after in my studio using my sketches. There are in the book a few pictures like that, too complex, too difficult to paint front of the birds directly.
Well, that for me, that's part of the pleasure of watercolors, is that the yeah. artist, the painter, can vary the visualness. Some of your landscapes in mist, in fog, you can really work that in a watercolor much better than you could with any other kind of paint.
Yeah, I know a few of my friends, artists, they tell me sometimes that they tried to paint watercolor and they stopped and they work again with oil or acrylic because it's a very complex technique.
It's incredibly complex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to paint with acrylics or oils?
No.
You've always been a watercolorist.
Yeah, sometimes with pastels, and in the book there is one or two charcoals. Mm-hmm. But watercolor is it's very easy to move in the white with this material, and but maybe it's because it's really difficult. It's not because I like difficulties. It's because you have to, when you paint with watercolor, you have to be really in the place.
In the moment.
And you have to feel quickly and to realize and to decide quickly what you want to express. Because in the same place, at the same moment, you can make 10 paintings, different paintings. But you have to very clearly to make a project in your mind. You understand?
Oh yeah. It's and Denis, when did you start painting? As a child?
Yeah.
And you always were attracted to watercolors, and were you always attracted to landscapes and birds?
When I was young, I bought my first watercolor box maybe when I was 20, 21.
Okay.
So it's quite late. When I was a young teenager, I drew and I paint with gouache.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting medium too. But I got a commission in the island of Corsica to sketch and paint animals in the mountains. And there I met a man who was a professional painter with watercolor. And he showed me his box, and he proposed me to take it during 1 or 2 days. And I discovered this technique, and I continue. And for now more than 40 years, I use this technique. But still, each watercolor is still a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Now, there's a lot of landscapes in this book. Do you, and I find that a lot of painters can paint birds, but they don't do as well on landscapes. But your landscapes seem to be as accomplished as your bird paintings. Do you find landscapes difficult to paint because there's just so much to try to capture?
I think I tried to capture the way I feel myself in that place at that moment. I tried to understand clearly why at that moment front of this landscape I really want strongly to make something, and I what I hope is that at the end, of course, when the work is published or exhibited, I hope that some people with feel similar things and will share things with me.
You have a nightscape. I think it was done with charcoals, with the full moon. And that's very, very moody. It's very emotional.
It's a very strange moment because, as you can imagine, it's difficult to work by night because you can't, even with a full moon, you can't really see clearly what you are doing on the paper. But when I stop in that small city, New Madrid, along the Mississippi River, I found a place. It was funny. It was a place where it was possible to walk on the border of the water, but with some light of the city in my back. So it was very nice because it was possible to look the river, the full moon, to make the charcoal with just enough light coming from my back to work. It was nice.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Denis Clavule. He's an author, a watercolorist, wildlife artist, and biologist. And we're talking about his stunning new book, In the Footsteps of Audubon. Denis, a lot of people here in America may not realize that there's a natural connection between France and Audubon. Audubon spent his childhood in France.
Yeah.
In the town, is it Couron? How would you pronounce? I can't pronounce it. Couron?
Couron.
Couron. Now, you start there.
Couron. Yeah. Yes, it's a small village. Yeah.
Has it changed a lot since Audubon's time?
Unfortunately, yes.
In a way. I'd be surprised if it hadn't. Okay.
No. He lived mostly with his family in the city of Nantes, which was a large city already. And he moved with his family to this house in Couron village, very close to the marsh. He spent there the summer and maybe part of the springs, but he spent the winters and the falls in Nantes city.
Now, one of the first places in America that you write about in this book is Mill Grove, Pennsylvania. Why is that place important?
Why? It's because his father, John James' father, was working in the French Navy. He was also a captain. He was also a businessman, and he managed different business, one plantation in Saint Domingo. Then he bought this property, this farm near Philadelphia, Mill Grove, and by the time he decided to send, we could say, I don't know if it's the good word, but his son there in America to manage a bit to the business. So John James, he lived there and discovered that place for that reason.
Many of the areas that you visit are along or on rivers, and you write in the book that the life of Audubon is inseparable from some of the great American rivers. What rivers did you visit?
I think the main rivers are the same than the rivers that along which John James traveled or lived. The Ohio River, Mississippi River, of course. Later in his life, Missouri River. Yeah. It was his last expedition, last trip.
Did you get to go out on any rivers?
Yes, I wanted to, but it was also something. I could say funny because you know when you organize so many travels and you want to do things, but all the things you want to do are not possible. So I was dreaming about moving on the rivers. Just to feel the same thing that Audubon or other people felt when they were traveling on the water. And fortunately, I succeeded to get some contacts, especially in Pittsburgh, with people who allowed me to spend around 2 days on a boat, on a towboat. So it was a great experience to share this time with these people and to talk about and to sketch the way they live each day on these boats.
And they're beautiful sketches too. And you also spend a lot of time with people who are doing research. They're censusing, for instance, herring colonies. That must have been fascinating to do that.
Sorry?
That must have been fascinating to watch them do that, to census the herring colonies.
Egrets,
the egret colonies. You got out, you went out, you followed people around who were counting egrets in different nesting places.
I met Jerry Lawrence in Everglades, a very nice man, a specialist of spoonbills, and he offered me the extraordinary opportunity. We went with his boat across the Florida Bay. And at that moment, he told me, "Denis, I will make a surprise for you." And we stopped on a small island, a sandy island, very small, where John James landed.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a really nice moment to see these birds with that charming scientist and to be where precisely Audubon stops.
I love your paintings of alligators too. Had you seen alligators before?
No. No. It was the first time. But it was another funny, we could say now funny, memory is that in Everglades, I stopped in a place to sketch and paint in detail the vegetation, the trees, along the water. And I was so concentrated on that work, doing that work, that when I stopped to work, I stood and I realized that one big alligator was approached. Maybe he was at 5 meters from me.
Whoops.
In the water, looking to me. Maybe it was not so dangerous, but I have to.
No. That was dangerous.
Yes. And I didn't realize that being like that, so concentrated, some alligator could approach.
Now, when you actually visited Massachusetts, too, and you get to see Barry Van Dusen, yeah, who I know. Yeah, Barry's a great artist, too. He's a watercolorist like yourself. Yeah. And you met in Artists for Nature programs.
Yeah.
Could you just talk about what that association is? Because that was a great series of projects that people have done for that.
Yes. It's a really nice experience. It's a Dutch organization. People there who, at the beginning of the 19th century, some people included the artists there. They imagine a project to involve different artists from different countries in the world to propose to these people to meet in some endangered places in the world. So we organize, I don't remember, maybe now it's 15 projects.
Yeah.
Some in, one in Alaska, one in Peru, one in India for the tiger conservation. In Poland, really exciting, but very important experiences for the artists to meet together, to work together, but also very important experience for the artists to meet local people, local organization, to support them in a way or another, in that case, to support them with their art. It was great to share these experiences with Barry.
Now, there are many places you visited. We can't possibly talk about them all, and we were almost out of time. But the book ends in New York City and Central Park, and you got a painting of a mourning warbler in Central Park. That's got to be a real uncommon bird there.
Yeah. I'm not, I have to say that I am a quite good birder in France, but in America and the U.S., I'm less good. But I was that day visiting that very interesting park with a friend of mine, Roger Paskey, yes, very, very good ornithologist, and he localized the bird. It was not possible for me to, you know, here in France, I can recognize all the songs and all the
chip notes.
Yes,
the calls.
So,
yeah.
So you know that it's so important to when you look for birds, it's so important to see with your ears before.
Right, but that's also a tough bird to see, though. I mean, that's a skulking bird. That's a bird that stays in the dense foliage and very rarely comes out. And you got a beautiful painting of it.
Yes, I have to say that for Roger, he was himself quite surprised this day He was, because it's a gentleman who don't talk a lot, and we were walking on a trail, and I remember that he said, "Oh, interesting thing."
It's
and plus, I have to say, even if I feel really modest, I have to say that he was quite surprised to see me so quickly sketching and painting the picture.
I'm impressed. I really am, because that's a tough bird. You have to be lightning fast in order to paint that. I'd love to have seen a picture of you doing that. It's like one of your last, you visit Audubon's grave at the end, and there's a mockingbird there.
Yeah.
I love that. That's very apropos.
I was there. I was really, not really watching birds, but painting the grave. These birds came and in the sky, buzzards was moving in the sky, and so it was very emotional.
Yeah,
was cold, snowy, sunny, cold, very calm, and it was so nice to watch this
mockingbird
in the place, and so of course I sketch quickly them.
Well, this is a stunning book. My guest tonight has been Denis Clavreul, author, watercolorist, wildlife artist, biologist, and we've been talking about his latest book, In the Footsteps of Audubon. Denis, it's been a real pleasure.
For me too. I am honored to speak with you and to share something with people in the U.S.
There's so much in this book, too, that we've just barely scratched the surface of. You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.